Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
We trying to behave ourselves on the story? Well, y'all know what we thinking right now.
I'm ready for the night. I got a little extra energy. I don't know what might come out of my mouth tonight.
As you can tell them to go sit their bad asses down so we're grown folks in here talking.
TGIF.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Claudia Jordan. It is Friday, and we are back with a brand new, fresh episode of TGIF. I see on the YouTube chat, throwing the flames up already, ready for some hot tea. Now, we are here to spill the tea and break down some of the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, get you a little something to sip on, because like we said on Wednesday show, we have a lot of stuff to cover today. All right, please welcome my co-host. Please welcome multimedia personality and talk show host on the mend, Funky Dineva.
You know, I got a different hand gesture today, y'all. It's this one today. It's to bless my heart because I fell and almost broke my wrist. So y'all pray for me. I'm on the sick and shut-in list.
We're definitely going to dive a little deeper into this because I saw the video on social media. Please welcome brand strategist Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
What's going on, Claudia? Happy Let's Friday, get into everybody.
Let's get into your friend here who is injured.
Yeah, he called me right after it happened. I said, what happened, boy?
So there's a video online, and you were racing someone. Was that the parking lot of the bar with the Honda cars?
Yes.
With the dumpster where you've had some liaisons?
Yes.
Okay, please, let me not explain.
You
explain.
In there drinking, throwing back shots of tequila, having a great time. And somehow or another, me and Nelson get into this back and forth banter about who's faster. And I'm like, boy, you know, you fat and I'm smaller than you and I'll beat you. And he was like, you know, Q, I'll smoke you. And I was like, well, come outside. And I kicked my shoes off and I go to take off running. I got a solid 4 or 5 steps in and my body met the ground.
I wish we had the video to play. We're going to have to play that on Wednesday show.
But they can go check it out on my Instagram page. It's there how we captured it. So I'm all scraped up, knees bleeding, toes bleeding, elbows bleeding. Then catch this, the bar, they give me a first aid kit and some Neosporin or whatever to clean myself up. Child, I look at the expiration date of the Neosporin. The shit expired in 2010.
I saw you self-diagnose with yourself saying sprained. You think a sprained wrist, huh?
I didn't feel like going to urgent care today. And the reality of the situation is if it's fractured or not, they're going to put it in a splint anyway. So, you know, right. I'll go tomorrow and get an x-ray.
This isn't the same bartender that you got in a fight with in the parking lot, is it? Totally no. Different?
This is different, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. You need to leave that bartender alone.
I know, when's it closing?
They were supposed to be closing in December and moving into the new spot, but they just got the plans approved at the new spot. So they haven't started the renovation yet. And the current landlord said that they could stay there up until the wrecking ball comes to tear it down. So they'll probably stay through the spring.
Oh, nice.
Y'all need a reality show at that bar.
I know. I've been trying to get one, but it's just so much. Believe it or not, I've actually been trying to get one and I've been talking about ways of doing it. Mm-hmm. But everybody says it's two issues. Number one, the liquor being shown. And then two, just the filming in a public space with people coming in and out. It would just a lot of clearance issues. So it's kind of hard and it would have to be something staged, kind of like a Vanderpump Rules. And that would not capture the true essence of what goes on down to the bar with the Honda cars be.
Well, I'm glad we got to witness it for ourselves when we went down there, man. That was a fun night. All right, y'all, let's get into it. So, Q, I take it you're not drinking after spraining your wrist in a race, an impromptu race.
No, I'm dry tonight.
Oh, man.
But I'm all right.
What you bring? It's me and you tonight.
Yeah, I'm having a white wine. 2019. So it's going to be a fun night.
Okay. I just got some ghetto vodka and Simply Lemonade. All right, let's go. Let's get into the show. Now, yesterday we celebrated Foxhole's 2-year anniversary. And we're so grateful for the support we've received from our soulmates. They have just been so positive. Let's take a look at Foxhole's 2-year journey. I know we talked about it already on Wednesday, but I think, again, it's worth repeating. It's a big deal. A lot of people have been trying to do the streaming thing, and they just don't jump. It don't really hit like that. Mm-hmm. Anything else y'all want to add to this?
I'm excited. I'm happy to be here. I'm so happy to be a part of this on the ground floor, because when it becomes whatever it's going to become, my name will be in that little history book as like one of the, people, one of the first people to ever there. So I'm super excited.
Me too. Wow. I mean, listen, I can't be more grateful. I mean, just everything about it feels right. I'm just glad to be a part of it. Thanks, James. Thanks, Foxhole. Thanks, Claudia. Thanks, Q. Thanks, everybody on our team.
And, you know, other people have been inspired. Like, I see other people popping up with similar kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, Foxhole inspiring the masses. But I love that a lot of people have chances to do this thing, not just celebrities, people that are, you know, big on social media, or even people that are not, that just have a good thing, a good word, good thing to say. They kind of give a lot of opportunities to people that other networks might not. So once again, James DeBose, we tip our hat, Stephen Brown,
thank you, James.
Everybody,
thank you,
Stephen. Behind the scenes. And payroll for always hitting that direct deposit promptly on time Wednesday.
Let's go, Regina.
Yeah.
Regina. I love when I get an email from Regina.
All right, y'all, it's TGIF, so let's get into some hot topics. I like to start off tonight's show with some Black Girl Magic. British Vogue is kicking off 2022 with a jaw-dropping cover featuring 5 African models whose glorious African heritage stretches from Senegal to Rwanda to Sudan to Nigeria to Ethiopia and beyond. British Vogue's editor-in-chief says, I saw all these incredible models from across Africa who were just so vivacious and smart. These girls are redefining what it is to be a fashion model. And I love it. It looks beautiful. What are your thoughts on this cover?
You know, I loved everything about this cover. And for whatever reason, my mind just went to trying to imagine being a European person on a boat, pulling up on some foreign land and discovering a person that looked like that for the first time. And what that had to have feel like those women on that cover, they look like goddesses. Just that dark, rich chocolate skin. And I for real want to know like what was going through European people's head the first time they seen people that look like that. Those women look magical. And I am glad that the fashion industry is beginning to catch up and realize the magic that is Black women.
That's right. Al, what do you think?
You know, I'm just in awe. Edward Enenfall is actually a friend of mine. He is the editor in chief that actually created this. And I just remember 20 years ago in the beginning of 2000, there were 3 African people in the fashion industry that were just destined to make a difference. It was Naomi Campbell, Pat McGrath, and Edward Enenfall, and they were all friends. And we used to all hang out when, you know, I've talked about them being working with them in the past in my, when I was a banker and everything. And at that time, he was so young and so innocent. He weighed probably 120 pounds. And we used to go to dinner. He used to talk about how he wanted to revolutionize the fashion industry. So to watch 20 years later, this friend that I used to go to dinner, redefine the fashion industry and forcing us to change the narrative and create this anti-tokenism campaign with nothing but African models on the cover without any type of shame or disposition about it. And also hiring Raphael, who's the Brazilian photographer who did the cover, who has always been supportive of underrepresented people of color. It's just magical. I'm sitting here and I just have goosebumps talking about it. My hat goes off to British Vogue for taking a chance with Edward. My hat goes off to Edward, always living and stepping in your dreams and, you know, just bringing it all full circle for all three of you great Africans that have just changed the fashion industry. And this is a thumbs up for me all the way around. I mean, I'm loving it.
As I remember early on in modeling, and I didn't have a high fashion model career, just going to auditions where they would say, me, with my hue, we're not hiring dark girls. I'm like, what? And I got to thinking, like, if they could tell someone like me that, imagine the disrespect that they constantly dish out to these beautiful, brown, gorgeous, chiseled, features, stunning, melanin-rich, goddess-type ladies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we don't realize how easy some of us have it. These women were looked at as, again, like a token in a fashion show. Let's throw a dark-skinned girl. But to have a powerful cover like this, with this black skin, beautiful chocolate. And, you know, as much as the world has robbed of Africa, they can at least honor these women and that represent these countries. I just think about the young black girls that want to get into this industry, seeing that kind of cover, just such an aspirational kind of moment. The cover of Vogue, nothing but chocolate. Usually they'll have a chocolate, a medium, a light, you know, everyone kind of plays their position, but to just be unapologetic with it, and be like, this is what we're doing. We're highlighting this. We're celebrating this. It's a great moment. There's so many black girls that talk about how they don't feel pretty. They don't feel pretty because what they see in media just doesn't reflect that. Lately in the past few years, we kind of embrace it a little bit. But remember when we were younger, how insulting someone would say, they would insult someone by calling them African this or African that. And I'm so glad the tide has turned finally and people will stop being ignorant and using that as some kind of dig, because there's nothing disparaging about these ladies or the countries that they represent in the continent of Africa. So kudos to British Vogue. We need more of this.
Yeah, and it comes from editors like Edward. I mean, we know that 43% of the African-American females represented on the last season of Fashion Week. So just thumbs up to the fashion industry embracing this entire tokenism campaign and employing people of color. I mean, I could
let's get to a point where this is not a novelty and it's just regular.
I was about to say, can we get to a place where we stop considering this taking a risk?
Right.
What I'm saying? Like, it's a risk. Ooh, I mean, risk of what? You know what I'm saying? Like, make it normal.
Make it, yeah. Like, let it just be March issue. Let it be July.
Why does it got to be a risk? Like, you know what I mean? Y'all scared all of y'all readers are going to, like, magically not buy the magazine anymore? I mean, why is it, or why are people of color, minorities, considered a risk?
All right. That's what they do, though. They think that those issues are not going to sell, and they are proven wrong. When they sell, when they do these, it sells out. So anyways, moving on, the fans are already coming for our necks in the chat, because they're like, y'all said you were gonna start off the show with the Trey Songz tea. We've been waiting for this, and we want to hear about Cardi and Tasha K. Calm down, y'all. Can we give some balance, please? Okay, we promised we would continue our conversation about Trey Songz and the rape allegations against him on Wednesday's show. Trey Songz and his legal team have denied basketball player Dylan Gonzalez's claim that Trey is a rapist. Trey's team even plans to take legal action, including filing a civil suit. Trey now has several accusations against him by different women. What are your thoughts on this story?
Al, going to you. You read the whole list.
I shared my thoughts. I mean, like I said, starting in 2017, to Kiki Palmer, 18, 19, 20, 21, and now in 22, we have Dylan. These are people that we know about. And what's so interesting is Dylan's lawyer has opened it up to where he now has over 20 women that have come forth to him and said, hey, this has happened to me by him as well. So this is my question to all the black women out there, to all the soulmates. What are you going to do about this information that we're sharing with you about all of these women that are coming forward, all these women who've been vocal for 6 years with all these rumors and all these accusations? He is still on tour. He is still making hits. He is still performing at sold out venues. He still has a career. Are we going to continue to treat this the same way that we treated R. Kelly? I need some answers. Because at this point, when you have this many accusations, we can't just say it's a woman's fault for going back to the hotel with him.
Well, I can tell you what the answer is. It's cognitive dissonance. You know what I'm saying? That people have an ability of excusing away behavior of their faves. You know what I'm saying? Or if they don't want to believe it, they will create a way to not believe it. You know, I misspoke on the last show because I was not aware that Trey had had this long history of allegedly doing this to people. I find it unfortunate, and it's weird because I always doted on Trey Songz that he was the one that did not get in trouble the way Chris Brown does. I used to always say Trey Songz come out with a CD, he tour for a year, then go sit his ass down for 3 years, and unbeknownst to me, he was, you know, stealing people's pussycat. And why he wasn't in studio and on stage, allegedly. So this definitely shocks me. But to answer your question, Al, cognitive dissonance, they're still going to buy the tickets and they're still going to gyrate. And
so, right. So this is my concern then. If that's how we're going to play it, then let's not be all in an uproar 20 years later like we are with R. Kelly saying, oh, he's a bad person. Oh, you're a bad person if you like his music. Because if you as Black women are going to support this type of behavior and going to be silent and not stand up against it, then don't be upset in the journey that he takes as he explores his career in celebrity and music.
Let's not just put it on Black women, though. I mean, black women are the sisters and friends and family of Black men. If rape is rape, it doesn't have to just be a woman that should get offended by this. I remember, I'm gonna go ahead and say it, Darren Sharper. I was friends with him, didn't know he was doing that. And one time I saw one of his friends down in Miami after he went to prison for, you know, his allegations of, well, his charges of raping people and putting drinks and stuff in their drinks. And his friend said, yeah, we used to see him do it all the time. I said, why the hell did you not stop? You're just as responsible. Mm-hmm. Miss me with, it's the women that went to the room. Miss me with, oh, you shouldn't still be a fan. How about the friends that are sitting there watching, thinking the shit is funny? He's doing it in open, in public. He's bringing these women to the room. Like, we all need to be offended by this. And yes, yeah, you're right, Al and Q. We do make, you know, when it's someone we like, we make excuses. No, those girls are lying. And especially when it's Black female victims, we are quick to call them gold diggers and whores and hoochies. And what was it? They had a motive. Rape is rape. Okay. Yeah. And yes, there are some trifling ass women and some trifling ass men that lie about it, but it happens a lot. And more often than not, we don't speak up again about it. And when we do, we get called liars and gold diggers. So yes, we need to put our foot down on this, but let's also stop coming for the victims because it is hard to come forward. It is hard, you know, to come forward.
The only thing that I want to make or clarify about my statement about going to the room and stuff, rape should not happen. We understand that. But until we get to a world where it's perfectly euphoric and it doesn't happen, I think that women should err on the side of caution. It is 2022, all right? There is not a woman above the age of 16 alive that does not know what time it is when celebrity XYZ picks you out of a club, out of an audience, out of a McDonald's, and invites you back to their hotel room. Yes, you should be able to go and play Nintendo 64 and not be raped, but let's normalize not being so starstruck that you put yourself in potential risky situations.
I agree with that. And also, once you're in the room, you're not fair game for this man to put his dick inside of you. Yeah. Once you said no.
Most definitely.
All right, y'all. Great conversation. We will be back. We got a lot more show to cover. We have a lot more topics, and keep it going in the chat. You know what, y'all? We are already at 2,300 people, so we might hit 3,000 tonight, y'all. We'll be right back after a quick commercial break with more TGIF. Welcome back to TGIF. I'm Claudia Jordan, joined by Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. We see you in the comments on YouTube. Please throw up some flames if you're liking what you hear. We're going to read some quick comments from the chat because people have a lot to say about the Trey Songz story. Charlene Edwards says, this young boy is using his ego and fame to test limits. the law, and he was disrespectful to us women. I'm older, but I would not support his music and his terrible missteps.
Hey.
Latasha Johnson says, at the same time as women, if you know, heard that Trey Songz is known for doing this to women, stop going to his hotel room with him alone. Facts. I agree with that as well. Nikito, we can even say no, even if we're naked. And Brianna, just Brina says, as a survivor of sexual abuse, it's hard to come forward and harder to heal after outing your abuser. Thank you, ladies, for your comments about your experiences in the chat and what you think about this. And I'd like to hear directly from y'all. So thank you so much. All right. We will definitely keep you posted on this story since we're taking a break from Kanye and the Kardashians for a few weeks. So we're going to have some room to talk about Trey Songz. All right. Moving forward, Tiffany Haddish is facing a DUI charge after being arrested. Early this morning in Georgia, the cops responded to a call about a driver who had fallen asleep at the wheel. Shortly after, officers spotted Tiffany pulling into a neighborhood where she was stopped and arrested for driving under the influence and improper stopping on a roadway. Cops stated that she was under the influence of marijuana. We have to credit TMZ for that, the picture, the mugshot. So we have to give them the credit. What do you think is going on with Tiffany Haddish? And you just think it's just a regular night out? She just got caught out there. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think it's unfortunate, but I also think it's nothing to see here. And it's funny because DUI, driving under the influence, it automatically suggests alcohol. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, she's a horrible person. She's drinking and driving and fell asleep at the wheel. But then when the next line is, you know, she was high off of weed. Not so much. I'm still side-eyeing her because they're saying she was nodding off and falling asleep at the wheel, and that is why people called the police. That is problematic, but I don't want this woman sprayed across the internet for DUI if she was just, you know, high off a little reefer.
Al, what do you think?
I don't think it was just reefer. I think we're going to treat Tiffany like we treat everyone else. You are very wealthy. You have means. You should be in an Uber. You shouldn't be driving if you're intoxicated or high, because what happens is you get a DUI. Okay, now I will sympathize with her because from my understanding, she's had a number of losses in her neighborhood or in her community, I mean, in her life, her dog, her grandmother, Bob Saget. You know, she lost Common. She's going through a very public breakup when she, you know, deemed that she was madly in love more than she ever has been before. I just feel like when you're going through these type of situations, don't put yourself behind the wheel, because we've all been there. We've all tried to drink away our sorrows. We've all tried to smoke away our sorrows. We've all been there. You are a megastar now, Tiffany. You no longer have the ability to make these silly mistakes. Sorry.
I agree. I'm empathetic to her going through her stuff. And we've all self-medicated with some weed or some drink or whatever to kind of just get over something. I get that. And it sucks because if she was in a different state, probably wouldn't have been an issue. She was in Cali, right. It was on weed or, you know, weed friendly states. She's human. She did a human thing. But unfortunately, right, with the stakes being so high, because she is a superstar that's come from so far, we don't want to see anything happen to our girl, Tiffany Haddish.
Oh.
And if something bad would have happened, and, you know, look at all these DUIs that have been happening with athletes and killing people and their dogs. And, you know, we don't want to see that happen for her. So, Tiffany, people love you. And, you know, we got to get you some Uber Black. Or a friend to drive.
Yeah, like she's like a platinum on Groupon. She can get platinum on Uber.
What happened to the days when people was going through and they was heartbroken and they drank brown looking and sit home and cry and smoke cigarettes? Like, why is y'all going out? Like, that's why we got to bring back old school ways of living. When you was going through and that man put you through, baby, you sat up at home and you cried, baby. You cried.
Remember, she's been posting, she's been very active about finding her new soulmate. So she's been very, you know, vocal about she's out mingling because she's single and she wants to meet her new man. So she's out in these streets.
She better put that thing on Bumble.
Does weed make y'all drive more reckless or more care? I'd be so careful when I used to smoke in Cali. I'll be driving all 35 miles an hour, super focused.
I smoked some weed one time in Atlanta many years ago. I used to drive a Nissan Cube And I could, so I was on 75, 85, and I could swear the reflectors on the street were levitating, like midway in the sky. And from that moment on, I have never messed around with that marijuana and got behind the wheel ever again. I that marijuana is something I got to do when I'm finna sit home and watch Claudine or watch Waiting to Exhale or something. I got to be done for the night.
Well, y'all, you know me. I take public transportation, and when I don't, I've had a driver since 2000, so I simply cannot drive under the influence of anything, weed, alcohol, anything. So
I'm useless on weed, so it ain't happening. All right, y'all, moving on. We got to talk about this story all over the internet. On Thursday, in her federal court case, Cardi B took to the stand and told the judge and a jury that she wanted to take her life after blogger Tasha K made allegations in 2018 about her sex life and that she had herpes and HPV. Cardi said Tasha K's claims are false. She also said, "I feel defeated and depressed. I didn't want to sleep with my own husband." What are your thoughts on the story and Cardi's statement in this lawsuit?
So y'all are not going to like my response, soulmates, and my co-hosts may not like my response either. I have a personal rule of mine that I'm not willing to violate for this story, which is I don't discuss other YouTubers simply because I have to exist in that space.
Okay.
And with the Black YouTubers, it can get very messy and toxic. Those of y'all who know me, I have a lot to say. I actually know Tasha K. I consider her to be a colleague. You know, we've done some stuff together. And I'm just going to say the whole situation is unfortunate, but I'm going to defer to y'all on this one.
No problem. Al, what do you think about this story?
You know, Q, I can respect that, honestly, because Tasha K, I watch Tasha K. I think she's very entertaining. I like her show. Sorry. Some people don't. I do. I love her personality. I love her hustle. I mean, not love it. I respect it. I respect her enterprise. But this right here is going to revolutionize that space, that blogging industry. And it's going to change how people participate in the space. And Cardi B was here for it. She spent over $1 million to make a point, and that point is being made. The best part about it is good money hires you good lawyers. So Cardi B is not focusing on slander, all right? She's focusing on libel. And that to me is just brilliant on her part, because when you focus on libel, if you focus on slander as a celebrity, you'll find yourself on the wrong side of the law because there's no federal law to protect you. But if you focus on libel, you have a win-win situation, because libel, you're being compensated for monetary damage to someone who is trying to ruin your reputation. So she's only focusing on getting money for money that she lost. I think it's brilliant in the space of the law in which she has tackled as a celebrity, because before, celebrities have not been able to figure this out. Very smart on Cardi B's half. Very unfortunate for Tasha K. I can't wait to see what this ruling is going to be.
I watch Tasha K too. I don't watch a lot of YouTubers, but she's one I watch. Tisa Talks is one I watch, a few others. But for me, this ain't just about Tasha K. It's about bloggers or vloggers being reckless about things. And she said, apparently on the stand, she said that she knew that it might not have been true, but she said it anyways. And this is very damaging. And I'm glad someone like Cardi B is speaking on it, because Al, I know you and I, we've both been talked about bad by the press. I had it for years by this one blogger that said all kinds of things. And that's kind of what started this home wrecker whore thing. And then once it's put out there, you have herpes, you have this, you're a prostitute. It's very hard to shake those rumors.
Oh, absolutely.
Like no one reads the when they clean it up.
That's right. You know, you hit it right on the head on that, because obviously when I was going through my situation, I hired lawyers and was trying to figure out. And there really at that time was no constitutional law to support celebrities, because you lived a celebrity life, people were allowed to make up stories on you and there was really no repercussion. But that's why I'm like, this is going to revolutionize the blogosphere, because, and it's going to make people very aware of what they say and check fact checking or finding a backdoor way on saying stuff. And that accountability really can help, I promise you, because I spent many nights, like restless nights, trying to wrestle with the narrative that was created around me, which, you know, was horrible.
What was the worst rumor about you that wasn't true? That you were like, nah.
Like, you know, I'm a gold digger, that I was lying. I was pretending to be something I wasn't, you know, that I never worked, that I was plotting on this person, that I never brought anything to the table. Look, when I got married, when I was in my situation, I worked on Wall Street. I was making six figures. I lived in the Ritz-Carlton residency in Battery Park. I was very well socialized in the New York nightlife. Like, I told you who my clients were. So just that alone was hurtful for someone to diminish you to some gigolo gay perpetrating something, some falsehood, you know, that really hurt. And the best part about it, which the thing I like about Cardi B, is that she's saying, listen, your lies is affecting my business. And it hurt my business because as a banker, people trusted me with their money. And if this narrative is out there, they're saying, oh, if he's lying about that, then he could be lying about how he's managed my money. It ruined my business.
I'm glad someone as big as Cardi B is doing this because there has to be some changes. There has to be some changes with just saying, getting on the internet. You have an opinion on someone, that's fine. But when you present things as facts about someone and all your people, and you have a powerful voice, it is very hurtful and damaging to people. And it's hard to recover. It is so hard to, and once it's out there, it is out there. And that's it. And you have to deal with it. And people tell you to not get over it. You're a celebrity. You got money. Why do you care? You shouldn't be reading it. No, we're human. Like the same bastards in the comments are human. We all human in it together. And as much as it would hurt you to have someone say these things about you and say you're just disparage your character, it hurts us as well. So, you Tasha know what, K, Claudia, I hope you don't, let me just say this real quick. We got Tasha K, I hope you learn from this because I think you have a, look, you got a million followers. You have a million subscribers. You have a great business model. So don't mess this up with this, and I hope she learns a lesson and continues to make her money because it sucks that this had to happen. But hey, I see both sides. Now, we wasn't going to
commercial. Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, it's different because you guys were celebrities and you guys were on shows and you guys were making money. I wasn't. I was just attached to a celebrity. So I wasn't making any money with all this slander. It was only digging me in the left side of the graveyard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It would have been different. I always said it would have been different if I was making money and you were talking crap about me. I could turn a left cheek. But I
was. No, it still hurts. It still hurts. It hurts your brand. All right.
We got to go to commercial.
They're
right?
Screaming at us. We got to. Okay. We late. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back to TGIF. I see y'all in the chat. Y'all a little aggressive in the chat tonight. I see y'all. Let me look at these comments. 2,600 in the chat. Okay. All right. Okay. Production, if y'all can just give me a few kind comments to read. We'll get to some of them. All right, y'all. Hey, listen, y'all. Did you know that even an okay credit score can cost you $100,000 over the life of a 30-year home loan? Well, that's why you should use ScoreMaster before you apply for any kind of loans. Now, ScoreMaster can take a credit score from okay to great pretty fast. Now, the average user adds 61 points in 21 days or less. Now, recently, COVID surges will keep interest rates pretty low for now. And adding 61 points to your score can save you thousands on a home loan, but those rates will go up soon. Now, before you apply, visit ScoreMaster.com, where you may add points to your credit score fast. Then you can maintain and protect your credit score with 24/7 credit monitoring and $1 million fraud insurance. It only takes minutes to enroll, see your points, get on track, and get more points and qualify for the lowest home loan rates. Visit scoremaster.com/T. That's scoremaster.com/T to get started today. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more T on TGIF after the break. Welcome back to TGIF. We are creeping upon 3,000 right now. Ooh. 2,700 in the chat, y'all. Come through for us one time.
What the chat saying?
Oh, they saying a lot. I love Funky. Tasha done. No, she didn't silence him. Call. Can y'all get the show to be 5 days a week? Let's get the likes to match the viewer numbers. I agree.
And you know what? Let me nip something in the bud right now because I already see this becoming a mess because I didn't want to comment on the Tasha K thing. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I don't get into that messy black YouTube stuff, okay? Y'all know when I went through my scandal that I went through with old girl, how every YouTuber out there made a video about me. I just don't like doing it. It's just always been a rule of mine. Y'all can think I'm being preferential all I want. You can actually kiss my ass. Y'all can look at my whole YouTube channel and you will see that there are no videos of me discussing other YouTubers. It's just a personal rule of mine. I don't like it. I don't like when they be on YouTube going back and forth with one another, about one another, making each other the story when we supposed to be talking about celebrities and celebrity news. It's just a personal rule of mine. Respect it.
Well, I respect it. I can respect it.
Respect it. I'm not silenced by anybody. It ain't like she my ace, cool, boom, she ride in my car. It's just a personal rule of mine. I don't discuss other YouTubers. That's where it starts and where it stops.
Okay, he said what he said. One more comment in the chat. They said, Antonio Rodriguez said, Claudia, we need you 5 days a week. Okay, y'all. All right, hey, moving on.
Tell James.
Donald Glover came through with a straightforward message for his followers. He tweeted, please at me this year if you talked shit on me. That he wants to smoke. He's like, don't do no subliminals. Don't do it in hiding. What are your thoughts on entering this new year with this energy? What do y'all think about this?
That same toxicity I just got through going off about. Okay? You know what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, I guess Donald might be equipped for it. In 2022, I'm all on peace, love, and zen. I don't at me. Right. Unfollow me. If you want to talk about me, unfollow me or go back and make videos about me the way y'all be doing, but keep that mess on your page. Don't at me.
Al, anything before we go on to this funky post?
Not a thing.
All right. Well, in today's news of trolling on social, this is a
See what I'm talking about?
Okay. In today's news, okay, Funky, you received an aggressively racist post from a troll, right? The post says, Funky, you always hating on white women. Your black ugly ass can't be a white queen, or you mad because white queens are still superior, you porch monkey N-word. What? Funky, would you like to respond to this said troll? Or is it a rule to not respond to white trolls that troll you and call you a porch monkey?
And I don't, oh God.
Let's get it all out tonight.
I know, I want to say something, but I don't want it to be misconstrued.
Oh, but it will, we're on the internet.
It will. I just find the words white queen to just be so funny. Like, I don't know why. That was the part of the post. And I guess because it's uncommon to hear white women going around referring to themselves as white queens. So it was just the white queen part that just made me have to post it. So I was like, this is just comical to me. It's comical.
You know what's so funny, Claudia? The same person posted on my page, and so I hit Q up. I was like, Q, console me, because that person wore me out on my page as well. I was like, yo, and I even posted, if you guys follow Q, do you know I posted on Q's page? I said, Q, she did the same thing to me. But you know what? I have to say this about my co-host. This man is always teaching me, and I love every second of it, because for me, I've been trolled for 20 years. I've been the victim of death threats, people coming to my job, security breaches at my apartment. I've been spit on. I've been shoved. I have been through some stuff with trolls. And you guys know that the reason why I don't read the comments is because I have PTSD around comments because of my experience in the entertainment world around this. But Q just somehow always takes the nasty win out of everything, and he just flips it, and he does it with such style and grace that I just want to say thank you, brother. He posted it. He was like, I'm not going to delete it off my page. I'm going to post it. I'm going to highlight it and let people be the judge of her foolishness. And Q, thank you. Thank you. Because you know what I did? I deleted it. I said, Q, can you believe that? Oh, my God.
It was funny to me. But
you know, like, we're going to post it. We're going to deal with it. Man, my hat's off to you.
What is she talking about, though? And she went to both y'all pages.
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, and it's funny, Al. I get this question a lot, especially from aspiring YouTubers. And I've said this before in previous videos. And I don't want people to take this the wrong way. But I look at my life and I just envision what the life is like of the person that's writing that. And I say to myself, why am I going to get mad because some trick in Boise, Idaho, sitting in the cubicle waiting for her boss to relieve her for her to go to lunch? Why am I going to let her upset me? Like, why? You know what I'm saying? I'm out here on boats, wearing Gucci and gold, living the time of my life. And you some miserable county worker somewhere in Boise, Idaho, high up behind a keyboard. You can't upset me, ma'am. You can't. Now go ask somebody to watch your phone so you go to the bathroom. Like, leave it alone.
Well, you know,
I'll be all in my feelings. I'll be in my feelings.
It's not all negative in the comments tonight for you, Q. Sam Cook says, child, not white bitch coming for Q. And then Will says, and Q, how can I become a gentleman caller?
Uh-oh.
You got action, huh?
Al and Claudia don't slut shame me through 2027. So I am no longer accepted gentleman callers, but I am looking for husbands. So
what? Get out of here. Please. What are we not about to do on Al Gore's internet is sit here and lie. You are not trying to be nobody's husband, wife, whatever. You have a fun life. You be, like you said, you be on boats wearing Gucci, having gentleman callers come through 2 a week.
Oh, Lord. 2 at a time, honey.
We ain't going to start lying. That's what we're not about to do.
Oh, we're not going to do all that good internet.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, gosh. Do we need to go to commercial real quick? We might have to go to a commercial. If not, I want to get into this.
I think we got another story.
All right. Q, sorry. There's another thing involved Tosh K, but it's not really about Tosh K.
Go ahead.
Okay. So according to her, a source at The Sun in 2020, Wendy Williams was allegedly so drunk after taping her show from her home that she stripped naked in front of her manager, staff members, and then screamed vulgar comments towards them while inappropriately touching herself. What are y'all's thoughts on these allegations? Do you think it's true, or are people just trying to just knock Wendy when she's down?
Here it is, and here it is, and this is when we really finna test the gusto of women out there. If it was a man, y'all would have been screaming all type of Me Too and sexual harassment and Harvey Weinstein and all this other stuff. If it is true that that woman was naked on that camera and touching herself and saying inappropriate stuff, then the same stuff that happened to all the rest of the people, Cuomo and Matt Lauer and all these other people, then she needs to suffer the same damn wrath. And I don't want to hear nothing about Kevin and Sharina putting her through out of grave disease that make her pat her pussy on the camera. I don't want to hear nothing about none of that. I don't want to hear about the drugs and alcohol because Whitney Houston, they never took hers off down on Al Gore internet. So if Wendy stripped now and showed them people that ill-shaped that P-shaped tussy cat with them stovepipe legs. Okay, that's the real crime. You know what? Matter of fact, maybe she don't need to get sexual harassment because maybe it's some other type of trauma. Because I imagine Wendy naked. Because literally, from her shoulder to her ankle, it's all one side. Like, it's just, so I'm like, could you imagine, like, looking at an iPhone with a head on it?
I quit.
I'm just saying. She did it, allegedly. And she, Wendy looked like the type that it was. I don't need no other body. Just roll. I bet she was rolling that thing too, like Pat. She was rolling. She did it. Them people ain't lying on her. Them people's not lying on you. I told you, y'all trying to blame it on lymphedema. Grave disease. I told y'all, Wendy had fell off the wagon. Oh, now the truth is coming to the light. It's coming to the light what all the hell was going on. She was sitting over there, and I'm going to tell you another thing. Okay. Y'all, thank y'all fooling us with this drunk. Okay. Alcohol. Because alcohol sound better than saying drugs. Okay. Alcohol was never that lady problem. We know what that lady problem. That lady went, I always say, don't judge me from my past because I don't stay there no more. That lady went and moved back into her old house. Okay. And took her clothes off of her housewarming. That's what she did, allegedly.
We're going to take a quick commercial break.
We'll and be keep back our clothes on.
We got to go. We'll be back. Welcome back to TGIF. Let me just say something real quick. I don't know who is in the comments for those Wendy fans, because we was almost at 3,000 live in the chat, right? It was at 2912. We had 88 people to go to be at 3,000. Then all of a sudden, y'all just, what happened, y'all? What do y'all think it happened? What do you think
it was? Yeah, like when I was telling the truth, but it wasn't that lady Graves' disease acting up.
I don't think so. I don't know. That we got to figure that out. Maybe there was a glitch somewhere.
So we are just, well, let me see where we at now. We at 2693. All right, y'all. One day we're going to get to 3,000.
We are.
We don't want to shrink. We want to grow. Speaking of shrinking, according to the Daily Mail, a man in the U.S. said his penis shrunk a cool 1.5 inches, and he suffers from erectile dysfunction issues as a result of vascular damage he suffered after contracting COVID. Check out what he said. My penis has shrunk. Before I got sick, I was above average. Not huge, but definitely bigger than normal. Now I've lost about an inch and a half and become decidedly less than average. It's apparently due to vascular damage, and my doctors seem to think it's likely permanent. Funky, I know you've had COVID. Al, I'm not sure if you did. But did anything like this happen to either one of y'all?
Claudia just had the COVID violated vaccine? All my health. Just violated all my health. Just told all my business.
Well, I've had it too.
Okay.
Yeah, to be fair. Okay, now we even.
So last I checked, it did not shrink. And if it did, It damn sure wasn't by an inch and a half. I would notice that, but in this case, and I know that so many men, their egos could be tied to their penis, but brother, you need to be glad that your ass is alive, because for your penis to have been tore up, you must have had that bad COVID and you probably had bigger issues to worry about than hunching. So just be happy that it works, that you still are here, and stop being superficial, man.
Okay. Al, how would you feel if you lost an inch and a half in length?
Listen, this is actually true, guys, because all of us know a particular person that had COVID, a pretty severe case of COVID, who had experienced this, and they got prescribed Cialis and was told to buy a penis pump. But let me tell you what's so funny about this story that I like.
Hold on,
we're going to come back to that. Just hold on 1 second. Y'all, like, for real, do y'all remember when Nicki Minaj said that her friend back at home, she was in the right area, but she was wrong about which appendage? Remember, in her case, she said she had a friend whose balls were enlarged.
And people came for her when she said that, but she was talking about a friend. Everybody came for her. Experience.
Remember, all the scientists and all the doctor, even they issued a statement publicly and said that there was no scientific proof that COVID was having any effect on any of the reproductive organs on men. So, Nikki, we have to apologize to you, sweetheart. You were onto something. You were on the wrong appendage, but in the right area. So I think we owe Nikki an apology, because it is 100%
true. No, that ain't how that worked.
It is. So anyway, I can't tell you who it was, because like you said, cue HIPAA laws, and that's their personal.
Give us a hint. We talk about
it. You gonna tell us on this commercial break? Because
now you be spilling. Who was it?
No. I can't spill. This is health stuff. Y'all know we will be sued from the top to the bottom if we do that here.
Hey, y'all. Before we get to the game, I'm just gonna spend like real quick, because this is not a story that we need to get into. Ray J says men should wear black underwear instead of white underwear so they can refrain from seeing poop stains in them. Check out his reasoning.
Wearing white drawers or white briefs, and the person who washing your clothes definitely can see the doodle streaks coming out. White drawers, you want to be washing your own white drawers.
Okay.
Do you see why I said, I've always said this before in the past, I think straight men are so nasty when it comes to hygiene and their ass, because you should not have to wear colored underwear to keep from seeing streaks. Right. You should use baby wipes and learn how to wipe your ass appropriately. And I'm not surprised that this comes from him. He is so lame. Between him, Bow Wow, and Nick Cannon, I just don't know who gets the award for being the lamest.
Not Nick Cannon. I like Nick Cannon. He's doing his thing. Hey, 50 more people to be at 3,000. Okay, before we go, y'all, okay. In honor of the new year, let's play a quick game of who's most likely to the 2022. All right, y'all, we basically have 1 minute to do this, okay? Okay? Who's most likely to reconnect with an ex-love this year?
Q.
L.
Who's most likely to catch COVID-19 again for being out in the streets? Q.
Q.
Who's most likely to get married this year? None of us.
Claudia.
Okay. Who's most likely to show up to a taping late?
Claudia.
Claudia.
Who's most likely to gain weight? Who wrote these questions?
Claudia. Claudia.
Who's most likely to have a foursome?
Q.
Who's most likely to sleep with a soulmate? Al.
Q.
I think Q is too bougie. Like Q be like have this air about him. Like he's too. I'm on a boat. You know what I mean? Like yeah, you can't. He ain't sleeping with no fan.
Take Q to that bar. Give him a couple of shots. He'll be ready.
And he's still. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. I ain't no cheap floozy, Al, and I used to be. But you know, I got a little business about myself these days.
Al, I think Al would do it on the low low. On the.
I would.
See, I know you.
And then lie about it.
No, I've never lied.
Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva for joining me tonight. Thank you for watching us on YouTube. And I think we got to, we was almost there. We're going to get it next time. Thank you for watching us, y'all. We're going to get to 3,000 next week. We'll see you next Wednesday. Stay tuned for the mix that's coming up next. Bye, y'all.
Bye, Salome.